say you will when you won't. You tell me you do, baby, when you don't. Let me know, honey, how you feel. Tell the truth now, is love real? Uh-uh. Oh, honey, don't. Well, honey, don't. Honey, don't. No, honey, don't. Hey, honey, don't. Say you will when you won't. Uh-uh, honey, don't. Well, I love you, baby, and you ought to know. I like the way that you wear your clothes. Everything about you is so doggone sweet. You got that sand all over your feet. So, hey, honey, don't. Morning, you don't look right. You've been out of painting the town. Uh-huh, baby, you've been slipping around. So, uh-uh. Hey, honey, don't. Well,
howdy. I'm Michael Wilde, and this is Mostly Singles on WGXC 90.7 FM. And tonight, it's old and golden B-sides of records you had and maybe never played. If you're like me, you bought the single for the song you wanted and played the flip side once. Or maybe you thought you did, like reading the spines of books that you've seen forever but never actually read. Than telling yourself you have read it because the book's been there for so long. B-sides are a lot like that. You've had the single for the last 40 years, so you think you know the flip. Then you hear it played on a show like this one tonight, and it's a revelation, I hope. The old part of Old and Golden includes Shellac. Of course, why not? Carried over from what I've been playing lately, which I can't get enough of. I don't think of 78s as having a B-side in the sense we've come to know in 45s, but they're great and add something wonderful like this one.
your shoulder, cuddled in your arms, dreaming while I'm dancing, thrilled by all your charms. While the music's playing, I'm in ecstasy. Sweetheart, hear me say, this is heavenly. Dancing while lights are low, what a grand sensation. Dancing, you ought to know, you're my inspiration. Let me dance forever, dream about your charms, snuggled on your shoulder, cuddled in your arms.
Business, baby, no business but mine. Nobody in business, honey. hope I get to say a few words.
A few words.
And when the music ends, there's a good chance that I could be hers.
I could be hers.
I think I'll go on and take that chance. It might turn out to be a great romance, 'cause she's my kind of girl. She's got a style that's got a hold on me. Mm-hmm. I built my courage up to ask her name. I'm going to get her in the love game, 'cause she's my kind of girl.
My Kind of Girl, that was The Prophets and the Stephanie label from 1966. Philly-style soul with an A-side ballad, I Can't Make It, and This on the Flip for dancing. And a note about the non-plug side of a single, what this show is mostly made of, the 7-inch 45. While it might seem obvious, the digital format of music now has obscured the B-side's original purpose to showcase different sides of the artists, and offer songs not included on the album. In some cases, the B-side turned out to be the hit, as radio programmers ignored the originally intended A-side, and in others, the flip was a secondary hit that received enough airplay to chart. But many, especially ones we're hearing tonight, are simply overlooked pearls. And before that, Reasons, by a group called Prophet on Lacam Records from 19, I'm guessing late 60-something. A hard psychedelic B-side to the softer A-side, It's Not My Fault. Both written by Danny Rowlett. Played by a band with only one record, and this is it. I could find virtually nothing about them. The label's own archive doesn't even know what year it came out. A collector's 45, produced by Major Bill Smith out of his Fort Worth, Texas so-called music empire, arranged by Marvin Smokey Montgomery, and that's all I could find. And before that was Taint Nobody's Business Part 1, Frank Stokes on the Victor label, recorded August 30th, 1928. And this is on the label Singing with Guitars, Memphis blues guitar legend, with Dan Sane, a second guitar, slightly out of tune? I think so. It only adds to the beauty, like those echoey upright pianos from around that time in recordings. Part 2 is actually the B-side of the 78, but the singing here is in Part 1 is too lively for me to pass over. The other side is good too, but this is delight. And we started out the set was Snuggled on Your Shoulder. That was Eddie Duchin and his Central Park Casino Orchestra on the Columbia label, from recorded on March 3rd, 1932, with Lou Sherwood on vocals. Music by Carmen Lombardo and lyrics by Joe Young, recorded in the year it was written. Other 1932 versions were done by Bing, Arthur Jarrett, Isham Jones, Kate Smith, and Al Boley. Doris Day and Julie London, too, in 67 and 57, respectively. Eddie Duchin in the Casino, which used to be in Central Park, on the hill behind Poets Walk, which, by the way, has a statue of Robert Burns that's identical to the one in Dunedin, New Zealand. There are two, and under one I spent many a day musing. We started out the show with, and this show is mostly singles. I'm Michael Wild, and tonight it's old and golden B-sides. These are obscurities, rare gems. I'm calling them pearls, treasure, gold. I find that they're well, I hadn't heard them before. Let's put it that way. I don't want to start making claims about how often they're played. I hadn't heard these. I dug them out. It's like an archaeological dig for me to find these things. And I love the B-sides shows. I think, you know, I've done a few of them, and they're always a lot of fun for me. And speaking of the B-side, we started out the show at the top with Honey Don't. That was Carl Perkins on the Sun label from 1956, a record I own, and actually a B-side that I've played and loved. This was written by Perkins, released January 1st of that year as the B-side of Blue Suede Shoes. And that's Sun 234. That's Sun number 234. Carl and his band, brothers Jay and Clayton Perkins, with W.S. Holland on drums, first performed it along with its famous A-side during their TV debut in March 56 on Ozark Jubilee. This one has a lot of covers, including a version by T-Rex from 1971 in the Electric Warrior sessions, not included on that record, but subsequently released. I think there's an album called Electric Warrior Sessions. It came out in the late 90s, I think. Anyway, I haven't heard it, but... No, that's not true. I have heard it. It's good. You know, you can really hear Mark Bolan, you know, doing that rockabilly thing. He has the perfect voice for it. Okay, and now... Speaking of seldom heard sides, this is the dark side of the mushroom.
Oh, I were you and yours was mine, I'd take like a dog to the water. All I can do with a brand new sway arm, if I were you, I'd hold you and touch all I wanna. Stay on too long, maybe just a while, long enough to feel the place where you move. If I were you, my friend, I'd wear your dress and steal your friends. I'd watch the words I said and wash my mouth and start again. I'd screw the thread that changed your mind and twist it the way that you would have. If I were you, then you'd be fine. I'd do it the way that you should have. If I were you, I wouldn't come down so soon. If I were you, pull down like a coat in the winter, I wouldn't stay on too long. Maybe just a wild prayer on everything you think about time. I see.
I wouldn't come down.
Envy in My Eyes, that was the Orlans on the Cameo label from 1965. The group's last single for Cameo, and it got no airplay at all. A Motown-style B-side Northern Soul club favorite. No Love But Your Love is the A-side, and Not As Much Fun. And before that, before Envy, If I Were You. See how that works? Tall Dwarfs and the Flying Nun label from 2002 from Bovril, a collection of rarities. Originally a Straitjacket's Fit song. You can hear Shane Carter in there, and I think Chris Knox does a great job with it. The Tall Dwarfs, Chris Knox and Alec Bathgate here with Leslie Paris on drums from Look Blue, Go Purple, Allah and the Puddle. Can also be found on Under the Influence, 21 Years of Flying Nun Records, which is came out in 2002. And it was the idea of the record was each band was invited to contribute to the album and asked to record one or two songs. If two, then one was to be a cover of a Flying Nun song and the other a new and unreleased song of their own. It's a great idea, and I think they did a great job with it. I don't have that album, but it's on my must-have list. This one is home recorded by a couple of do-it-yourself pioneers, Tall Dwarfs. And before that, starting out, there was Dark Side of the Mushroom. That was Chocolate Watch Band on Tower label from 1967. Not a single from the group's debut album, No Way Out. Notable for distorted guitar instrumentals, which I have a great fondness for. Anybody listening to this show knows that I love distorted guitar and in any shape or form, even the old stuff. The weirder, the better. This song was written by two engineers on the record, and I'm not sure how many actual members of the band are playing. People were called in. This is one of those albums that went quickly out of print, then got re-released in the 90s, the aughts, and the 20-teens as Psych Garage proto-something. You know, I don't know. They slap these labels on these things, and then they re-release them because there's a place on the shelf for it, I think. But actually, you know, while it was brand new, that place on the shelf didn't really exist because, you know, this stuff was so out there. Which is why it went out of print, you know, which is why I'm playing it tonight, because you probably hadn't heard that one before, I'm guessing. Dark Side of the Mushroom should have been a 45, though, from 1967, and it should have been the B-side, but it wasn't. Okay, this is Michael Wild. We're listening to old and golden B-sides, the old part of the old is I'm playing a lot of Shellac 78s. Mixing it up with stuff from New Zealand and B-side singles. It's a mix. And now we're going to hear from the Wilson Brothers. You Took My Future Away.
Happiness went away the other day. Yet to discover whereabouts of my love until this very day. First thing that crossed my mind when I didn't hear a word, then of what I'd heard through the grapevine, she was hiding up and leaving me behind. I asked her, mother, did she know what a girl was destined for? She told me no, but keep the faith, cause she might return. But I might as well face the fact that the girl ain't coming back. Oh, why'd she leave without me? Why? Did she care at all about me? Which train, which plane did you take? Did you know what you left? You took my future away.
Did you know? Took my future away. Did you know that the day she left?
Oh, my future also went away. Telling me she wanted to be free, she didn't ever want to
Thank you.
Bats. That was Beneath the Visor from on the Flying Nun label from 2020 from the LP Foothills, their 10th album and their most recent. So these last two pieces of music are nearly 100 years apart, and yet I have no trouble playing one after the other. To me, it's like a hand in a glove. So in this case, New and Golden together. I can't let too many shows go by without playing something by the Bats. They may be timeless, but it's too early to tell. And you wouldn't be able to tell either, floating in the middle of one of their songs, or at the beginning, or at the end. That's what I love about them. You really do get this sense of timelessness in the middle of a Bat song. And before that, Melody Man's Dream. And it says Ed Lang on the label, the OK label from 1927. That's Eddie Lang. Guitar solo with piano recorded October 21st of that year with, that's Lang on guitar and Frank Signorelli on the keys. I just couldn't squeeze any more Eddie Lang into last month's show, so here he is, a genie. And so is Signorelli, who, as I mentioned before, I think last show, was also a composer. What was it about the late 20s and early 30s that produced so much greatness? I'm not kidding. In volume alone, I mean, the output is staggering. You could get 6 or 7 fantastic recordings of a single song the year it came out, each with sensational musicians and arrangements, all original. And the songs kept coming, and keep coming, it seems. I keep discovering more. You know, that's why I've been playing a lot of these shellac records, is because there's just so many. There's so many great ones. I mean, it's like this. There's like a wellspring of music that happened in that time. It's really remarkable. And, you know, these last shows I've been playing, the musicianship has, the standard, you know, the bar I set for myself music-wise, like, you know, the way the people playing and their chops, you know, it's amazingly high. So, you know, that's another reason why I unearthed a lot of these old records, and they just didn't fit in the lists and the set lists, and I just don't want to, you know, I want to play them all eventually because I love them, like that one. And before that was Charlie. That was the Watts 103rd Street Rhythm Band on the J-Boy label from 1967. A seminal year. The A-side, Spreadin' Honey, is great too, but the golden for me is this B-side, Charlie, which used to be an A-side for the Soul Runners, an instrumental band from 103rd Street in Watts in South Central Los Angeles, who changed their name when Spreadin' Honey became a hit that October. So this is all in flux. These are the same people. In this one, you might recognize the same bass rhythm that David Essex and company used in Rock On, which was still a good 6 years away, which explains a lot. I always thought Rock On had a retro feel. It doesn't sound like 1973 at all. A great song, and this is one reason why. We started out the set with the Wilson Brothers on the RCA label from 1969. That was You Took My Future Away, a crossover soul funk 45, and the B-side. You know, I say crossover soul funk. I grabbed that off of, you know, someplace where I was digging up information about this record, and, you know, that's how it was identified. You know, it seems tame enough, crossover soul funk, right? I mean, it's not too bad. I just resist shoving these things into boxes. The music, when I go back in time and pull this music out from where it came from, I just don't like to classify it. Because I feel like there's new things in it that come out, you know, in the meantime, you know, since it was recorded, that have sort of changed its meaning in a way. I've spoken about this a lot on this show, and I find these labels kind of interfere with that. It interferes with the newness that still exists in the record. Because it's sort of like when somebody writes a poem and it's mysterious and beautiful, and somebody says, well, what does that mean? Or what were you thinking when you wrote it? Or, you know, and the poet or the writer will make a terrible mistake if he answers the question, because what happens, even if it's the honest to God truth and the actual experience, you know, unembellished, what happens is that replaces the poem, that replaces the beauty of the line, because then when anybody quotes it or you read it, that's all you can think of. You can't think of anything else. It's like, oh, well, this is what this means. And so I feel like it's almost obligatory not to give definitions of lines of poetry, or in this case, you know, a 45, because, you know, you can just say, well, it's funk. Well, maybe it's something else. I mean, the reason I identified it as crossover was because there's something more there. It's not simply, you know, this style of music, you know, stamped out in the, you know, in the funk mold. You know, the musicians were up to something, and it was 1969, and a lot of stuff was happening. I mean, the music was fluid, and people were playing in lots of different ways and lots of different styles, and taking from here and using from there. And, you know, yeah, crossover describes it pretty well. So that's something I don't have a big problem with. Anyway, the A side of this record is dirge-like. It's called There Has Been Some Change, complete with organ. And I thought about playing it, and this is the side I wanted. Sellers of this single advertise what we just heard as the plug side, but it isn't. If you examine the label, so in other words, if you go online and try to buy this record, this is the song, You Took My Future Away, is the one they identified as the A side, but it's not. Because if you flip the record over, plug is clearly shown in caps for There Has Been Some Change. This is what time will do. It sorts out quality. You know, that's kind of what I was talking about just a minute ago. It turns out, too, that a lot of these golden B-sides tonight are Northern Soul classics, if there is such a thing. I suppose it all depends on the night, what you're wearing, and how close you're pressed to your dance partner. You know, that's how I define Northern Soul, which is, you know, resists attempts to define it. This is Michael Wilde. Speaking of resists attempts, this is Mostly Singles, the old and golden B-side show, and we're going to keep it rolling now with Billy Cotton and his band, yet another version of Happy Feet. You're listening to WGXC Acre, Catskill and Hudson, 90.7 FM.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, looking on his nowhere hands. Doesn't have a point of view. Like you and me. In
Do you know just where you're going? Do you know just where you're going?
Into My Life, Helmut Pister's big rock jazz band with soloist Marietta on the Don Marr Records label, 1960 late? Don't know. Lovely jazzy soul B-side with vocals by Marietta Bayless, sounding to me a lot like Tracy from Everything But the Girl, which was much, much later, by like 20 years, I think. Well, maybe 10. Not 20. Somewhere in that range. Anyway, this is with something extra. There's a Promise for the Future is the A side. This is a rare and obscure 45 out of Detroit, and I just couldn't find a whole lot on this record, but I love it. Before that, I played it before. I just thought it was perfect here. I love it. It's rare. Inside Outside. That was the Relics on the Phalanx label from early May 1966 from Michigan. Not sure where in Michigan. Some places say West Michigan. I've gotten other information, so I just left it at Michigan. It matters because if I want to try to find information about the Relics, it's not easy, and it helps if you know specifically what town they're from. It just helps if finding information. I think I found the obituary for one of the singers and the guitar player from 2000, but it wasn't enough for me to actually make an identification. I'm pretty sure it was the guy, but again, don't know. See, what happens too is that when you find like threads where people are discussing the song, like inevitably somebody says, oh, my two uncles were in this band, and then somebody else says, oh, really, you know, and sort of tries to prompt information eagerly and enthusiastically, and then there's no answer. So I found at least two places where people had identified being a family member or somebody close to the Relics and just not getting anything that I could use. So really just a mystery. The A side, this actually is the A side. The B side is Skin Sin, which I'm calling a frantic instrumental. It's cool. I'll definitely play it sometime. It's completely different from what we just heard. And this might well be their only record, this 45. And if there are other Relics recordings out there, bootlegs or anything else anybody knows about, I'd love to know about it. There's another group, and this is what makes it complicated. There's another group that goes by this name, but they're a completely different group of people playing completely different music. These Michigan Relics are, as I said, hard to track down, and I'd love to hear more if anybody knows. So you can always write the station if you've got Relics information. And again, not to be confused with the other group. Okay, before that was a live version of Nowhere Man, the Beatles from Munich from 1966. I love this. I wanted to play it because it's different. It's not the same one that we all know so well. And I wanted to play it too because it's an extremely difficult feat to pull off, this three-part harmony and playing live on stage in the days before monitors, which is what the Beatles did. And they did this tour of Europe, you know, Germany and Asia. This was right after John made that remark about the Beatles being more popular than Jesus Christ or something like that. And they got into a lot of trouble and they went on tour, and they knew they were, the press corps was just hounding them at every stop and, you know, trying to get more out of, you know, they wouldn't leave it alone. They were just flogging the Beatles for this. And I think they were getting kind of upset. You know, they were offering. First, they were silly about it. Then they got serious because they realized this thing was getting out of control. And then John had to do a mea culpa and apologize. And I don't know if you remember that. This came square in the middle of that. So they knew they were coming back. What they were coming back to in America was that. And they were playing Nowhere Man live. And there are different... if you go Googling around, you can find them playing this in different stages in different parts of the world. And they don't play it. There's a few out there that don't sound good. And obviously it's difficult to do. This song is a difficult thing to do live. And I think this version that we heard, even though, I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's much more to praise in this particular performance than it first meets the ears. You know, I know it's not easy to listen to. It's a treat to hear them with an audience who isn't screaming all the way through. I like this for that and for other reasons too. Mostly just to hear it differently. And I hear new things. And the music is so affecting. And it's nice to hear it played from when it was written. So I think it fits with the rest of what's going on tonight, and I'm so happy to play it, which is why we started out with Happy Feet, which was Billy Cotton and his band on the Regal label from 1930. Billy Cotton was an English band leader and entertainer who started out as a drummer and wound up in the Royal Flying Corps. He lied about his age. He was underage, and he got in flying Bristol fighter aircraft in World War I, even landing in Gallipoli in the middle of an artillery barrage. So these kids were the people who were doing all this back then. Remembered now as a 50s and 60s radio and TV personality, he began his career in music in the early 1920s, putting together his own orchestra, one of the few that survived the British dance band era. He moved into music hall vaudeville, or vaudeville as some people like to call it, and began attracting famous musicians to the band. He was also known to sing on his recordings and worked as a vocalist for others. And this is just a complete guess out of the blue. I have no evidence for this, but I just have a feeling that Paul's dad must have known Billy Cotton. It's just a guess. I mean, the dates and the venues are right, and Paul's dad was in the, you know, he worked in the music hall as an entertainer. So it just stands to reason that he would have known Billy Cotton, especially since Billy Cotton wasn't one of these fly-by-nights. I mean, he was there for a long time and continued. So I thought those songs went well together. And also, I mean, I know that Nowhere Man, it's really interesting to me to hear live Beatles when it's not just where you can actually hear what they're playing. And I mean, in that one, it's not clear what they're singing, because John's vocals weren't very good on that one, but for the microphone, for some reason. But I was listening mostly to the to what George was doing and what Paul was doing on the bass and the guitar. I mean, the singing is just so branded into my brain. I just, you know, I can just play that record just by thinking about it. But when you hear like it mic'd differently live, it's unusual and beautiful. Which is what I love about that, among other things. Okay, this is Michael Wilde, Mostly Singles, the old and golden B-side show, and we're going to keep it going now with Three Stripped Gears from 1931. Thank you. I hope you're having a good time. I am. That was a hard to find 45 with two great sides. This one, the B, Gonna Find a True Love, Bottom and Company on the Motown label from 1974. You wouldn't think a Motown record would be hard to find, but this one is. And the A side is You're My Life. One of those songs that you take for granted because it's Motown, because it's 1974, and it feels like grapes in a vineyard, until you stop and realize that nobody can do this anymore, except a handful of old-timers whose glory days are almost half a century ago, and the factors of production have all changed. You know? I mean, I say take for granted. I played the A side and I just thought, I was taking it for granted. And then I stopped and listened to it because I prefer the B side. And also, this is a B side show. And I just thought that song was great. And the A side just wasn't as great. I kind of immediately, and this is sort of how I started out the show talking about it. I mean, usually it's the other way around. You go out, you buy the record. And it's one song that you're buying. It's like you find out that you like it, and so you go get the song, and it comes, you're actually getting two songs. And so what happens, as anybody who collects 45s knows, is that you flip it over and you hope that it's great. And if it's not as great as the song you bought it for, you kind of play it once and that's it. And your brain kind of logs it as not as good. And it's a shame because it often is there to feature another aspect of the musician's personality and style, like their range. And sometimes it's a completely different kind of song. And, it might not be what you wanted when you bought the record, but it may be exactly what you wanted 40 years later, you know. Or 10 years later, or 2 weeks later. I mean, it's all... In other words, the B-sides are definitely worth playing. Now, granted, I have a ton of records. I mean, I started collecting 45s when they were, not that expensive. And I would go to these old records shops where they were stacked floor to ceiling for a quarter each, 25 cents. And I would, you know, fill up shopping bags and bring them home just based on novelty, the novelty factor. I mean, if I hadn't recognized the band or if it had a cool, like I remember finding this one record by a band called Swamp Dog with two G's. And I thought, oh, this is going to be great. Turned out it was terrible. But I kept the record, you know, I still have it because where else am I going to get a Swamp Dog single from, you know, who knows when? And so that's how I collected. And I would play them and just stick them back in the on the shelf, and that would be that. So when I, you know, I'm talking about the B-sides mostly, and when I started doing this show, I kind of revisited all of that. And I pulled them out and I started listening differently after all this time. And I'm finding things, you know, I'm finding out that I had written off something that really should have been given a second listen. So that's what I mean by take for granted. I was really talking about myself. And then you realize it was 50 years ago and these people aren't around anymore to do this. So you're never going to hear a song like that one. I'll play it. I'll play You're My Life along with Skin Sin by The Relics sometime soon. These beauties are needles in haystacks, hence this show. And before that, Blonde on the Loose, that was Carl Crescent. Tony either Mottola, it's M-O-T-T-O-L-A, not sure how to say it, on the Capitol label from 1941, from the album Fun on the Frets. And here Tony Mottola at the beginning of his career playing with his teacher, the amazing Carl Kress, who I've been playing a lot of lately in these last few shows. He's a stellar, seminal figure who I never even heard of until I started doing this recently. I mean, and then I'm finding myself, you know, playing as much Carl Kress as I can get my hands on. I found this quote from a fan of Tony's, and this is, I thought it was funny. It's true. It's interesting. And here's the quote. I used to have a book of transcriptions of the sound effects he did from an old 50s TV show called Danger. He used combs and wax paper and all sorts of things to get the effects. He did all the sound for the show, just him. He wrapped his A under the E to get a snare drum effect. Unquote. You know, these men were innovators too. We started out with Alabama Blues. That was Three Stripped Gears on the OK label from 1931 and a 78 RPM record that, if you can find a copy, is worth many thousands of dinero. The Three Stripped Gears are Cliff Vaughan, Marion Brown, and R.W. Durden. For several decades, the Three Stripped Gears were a mystery to collectors and historians of pre-war blues and string band music. Most were certain that the musicians were African-American, but their records appeared in OK's 4,000 Hillbilly series. They only had two sessions, and two records were issued by them, composed by R.W. Durden here on mandolin, recorded in Atlanta, October 30th, 1931. And now we're going to keep going with one of my favorite bands from Scotland, Orange Juice.
Keep the change. and the fumbles, it's a one across the hall. If you don't answer, I'll just bring it off the wall. I know he's there, but I just try to call.
The woman hanging on the telephone. The woman hanging on the telephone.
I heard your mother, now she's going out the door. Did she go to work or just go to the store? All those things she said, I told you to ignore.
I love the way Blondie sings. It's like the kid next door. I mean, I know that accent so well. You know, I have some of it. I share some of that. Blondie, that was not the B-side. The B-side is Anything, Will Anything Happen? You know, one of those songs that was okay for its time, but I wanted to play this. I really, that other side is kind of, it kind of dates the record. Still, it's Blondie, it's great, it's vintage, it's 1978 on the Chrysalis label, Hanging on the Telephone. The plug side, which as a 45 was exported to England despite Made in USA on the label, which is one big reason why Blondie made it in the early on. English distribution, they loved her. And speaking of love or that or lack thereof, how's that for a segue? I get wild, wild gravity. I get wild slash wild gravity. Talking Heads and the Sire label from 1983. B-side of Burning Down the House. Not a big fan. Walked out on them in 78. Too arty Upper West Side for my taste, but as someone who ended up spending the next 20 years on the Upper West Side, I came to appreciate Talking Heads only much later on. And back then, I mean, the reason I'm going into this is, you know, if you were there, if you know what I'm talking about, it was an uptown, downtown thing, depending on which end of Manhattan you were on. And these were the days when Brooklyn was still another country. Anything north of 14th Street was Mars. You had to go through empty, dangerous streets to get to the clubs, and when the fun was over, the streets were even more dangerous. Coming out was worse than going in, and I always had the entire city to get through before I got home on my bike. That was my favorite way to see it, when everyone was asleep. It was a totally different time. Yeah, I walked out on the Talking Heads in 1978 in Chicago because the crowd hated the Cramps. The Cramps were warming up for the Talking Heads, and it was, you know, right at the peak of the Cramps, right when I was really, I mean, I got I got hip to the Cramps in 77 with that, when they started first playing CBGBs, and then that record came out, that single, The Way I Walk, and I was hooked. And then, you know, I saw the Cramps as much as I could. And when I went to Chicago in 78, they were playing. So I went for the Cramps. I went for the warm-up act. And Talking Heads was the headliner. And as anybody who ever goes to these things knows, the warm-up act is often booed because they're not in the style of the group that the people were there to hear. And they were... This Chicago really, really did not like the Cramps, and I took it personally. So, you know, having as much attitude as an 18-year-old could have, I took it out on the Talking Heads, and, you know, I came around way much later. Okay. We started out with Flesh in My Flesh. That was Orange Juice on the Polydor label from 1982, right around the same time, that from their second LP, Rip It Up. And this is a Scottish indie band from the Glasgow suburb of Bearsden. I don't know how to say it. Changed their name from the New Sonics, which was named after a cheap guitar, to Orange Juice in 1979 with subsequent lineup changes. There's a movie that features them in their early days called Big Gold Dream that I haven't seen but want to. There's a re-recorded version of this on a 1983 7-inch single. This one, too, has a retro feel, which is a kind of sub-theme of not just tonight, but a lot of what I play, that people get nostalgic for a time that was itself nostalgic for another earlier time, which happens a lot in art. And it was especially true beginning around 1979, and especially true of this band. Sometimes it's hard to make out in the haze of old records, but you can hear it, the needle of time moving backward. And ironically, the B-side to this single is the A-side in reverse, playing over a story about a train. And maybe sometime I'll play that one too. This has been the Old and Golden B-side show, and Michael Wilde, we're coming around to the last bit of the show. On Mostly Singles on WGXC 90.7 FM. Next month I'll be live, I hope. And I'm really looking forward to that. It's been a real kick producing these shows at home during the lockdown and subsequent opening up. And I hope to get back into the station soon. And we'll go out with more of what we came in on. And whatever you do, don't bring Lulu.
Lulu, don't bring Lulu, I'll bring her myself.
Eddie Lang and Lonnie Johnson and the OK Label from 1930. Mostly Singles is produced for Wave Farms WGXC 90.7 FM in the Hudson Valley in New York State. I hope you had a great time. I know I did. Good night. Here's Segovia. Thank you.